I'd like to welcome everybody to the September 8th Select Board meeting. We already did open with our public meeting and we had a non-public, but if you'd all join me, we're going to pledge allegiance once again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. We already did roll call, so the next item is the minutes.
Linda?
Yes?
Do you want to unmute that?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I make a motion?
Yes, you may.
I move the minutes from August 11th be accepted as presented.
Second that.
That seconded. No discussion, all in favor?
I abstain because I was absent.
Sue?
Boy.
Brian?
Pat.
Thank you. All right. Department reports.
Okay, so for last month, we just had a couple things. The first big one was we did the reconstruction and paving on North Road, so that's complete. Just need to have the signage taken down, and then it's completely done. So the gravel's in. So we went from 43 into about halfway up to Healy Road.
Oh, wow.
And really all that consisted of was, obviously, we did tree cutting earlier in the spring. We did a bunch of drainage improvements, some structural improvements to the roadbed, and then paved it back in. We did do roadside mowing last month. We should be done this month. And then just patching as needed. If you guys have any questions on that, I can answer them. And then I was going to go into the block highway grant and stuff like that.
Just fine. I'm good with the other.
I don't have any questions, do you?
Okay, so as we have spoken about before, one of the projects that I want to use the block highway money for is redoing Crowley Road, because right now it's on the CIP, so we were going to take a lot of the money out of the block highway grant. So starting next week, we're going to be up there actually later this week cutting some trees and doing limbing and stuff like that in preparation for the road work. And then on Monday, I would like to start actually digging out part of Crowley Road. So we're going to start right around, I think it's like 68, and go through the swamp, because that's honestly probably the worst part of that road. So instead of starting at actually Chester Road like we would do on a normal project, we're actually going to do that worst part first, and we're going to work through the swamp. So for that, I want to use the block highway money. I'm going to be using some impact fees, and we also there's three new lots that got built this year. And we actually got money for off-site improvements when those lots were approved. So we're actually going to be using that money as well. My plan for that section of road is, obviously, it's going to get ripped up. It's not going to get reclaimed. We're actually just going to pick it up with the excavator because it's a pretty short run. And the plan is we're obviously going to dig it out like we would any other reconstruction. And I'm planning on actually bringing it up about a foot through the swamp to try and get out of the slop a little bit more. We may put in some under drain. I'm not 100% sure yet. We're going to kind of see what happens when we get into it. But we do have some under drain already. It's not like we're going to have to spend extra money for it. And then the other project that I wanted to talk about tonight, I'd like to use more highway fund money to replace that bad culvert on Old Manchester. So if you drive just past Stubby's going towards South Road, all the drainage from the golf course actually comes out right there, and there's actually a little dip where the culvert's actually gone bad. But that culvert doesn't take any water anymore, which is the issue. It does trickle through, but if we get a really high, heavy rain event and that whole area is full of water, it actually just runs down the road and washes, you know, the whole side of the road out. So we'd like to use some more highway fund money for that. We're not going to spend it all. What we've done in years past, and you guys know, is we do a project, we don't spend all the money so that we can kind of continue to grow the fund and get more and more every year. So we're going to continue that. The only sticking point that I would see with Old Manchester Road is because that was a concrete road. We're going to have to see if there's still concrete under it or not. It's interesting that half the road settled if there was concrete under it still, because, or that particular culvert, because concrete doesn't normally do that. What I'm wondering is maybe half the road is and half, the other half isn't, might have gotten added on to or something. If we have time this Friday, we're actually probably going to rip some of that road up just to see what's under there. So when we go to change out the culvert, we don't have to be waiting, because what we'll end up having to do is kind of hammer through the concrete, unfortunately. But it's just going to be the way that we have to do it. I am going to get in contact with the buses, like the bus company, just because we are going to have to shut Old Manchester Road down.
The whole, even?
Yeah, they'll just have to detour around, because when we have the road open, the bus won't be able to go through. They'll just have to detour around to South Road. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
A lot of them go in through South anyway.
Exactly.
For some reason, so.
I've only really ever seen one bus that goes down Old Manchester, and they come out of right there anyways.
Yeah.
So essentially it's the start of the route. But I was going to give them a call anyways just to give them a heads up the day that we do it. And then Crowley Road won't really affect anything as far as buses. So.
Good.
I have
what do you got?
Board, if you can vote to accept this portion of the highway block grant.
Do you need a motion to accept that?
Yes, yeah, because it's a grant money. All right, the amount is $37,354.03.
That's for Crowley?
No, that's the block grant. We're just accepting the block grant.
Just accept it, okay.
Because Jeff can't spend it if we don't accept it.
Yeah. It's something that always passes.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys know, but I'll have to have you guys vote on these two so I can spend it.
Yeah.
Because of trustees.
So, do we have a motion for that amount?
Yeah, I move the, this board accept the highway block grant in the amount of $37,354.03.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You guys don't have any other questions?
No.
That's all I have. I just need you guys to vote on it. To approve
the block grant. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Because that way I can spend it, yeah.
So how do we word that?
Go ahead.
Like you other
does it have to be an amount?
No, it's just a project.
Because he doesn't know.
How would you describe that project?
Crowley. So just Crowley Road not all of Crowley Road, but I would say it's Crowley Road from 68 to, through the swamp.
Reconstruction of a portion. Just a portion of Crowley Road.
I move we authorize the road agent to pay for the reconstruction of a portion of the Crowley Road project from the highway block grant.
I'll second.
Sue, second. Any questions, anybody? All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Will that cover some of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you need.
We'll have yes?
To, yes, sir.
We'll have to vote on the more.
Brian, yes.
Too.
Pat.
Okay.
For the
you need.
For the more highway fund, too.
So we have to do that, Boyd.
So you want to.
Yeah, just approving the project to replace the bad culvert on Old Manchester Road.
Using we authorize the road to replace the culvert on Old Manchester Road, paying for it with funds from the Moore Highway Fund.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
You need that to get it from the trustee of the trust fund.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then after, I'll have to give them the invoices like we know.
Sure.
Right.
To show that's where you spent it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. Anything else for us, Jeff?
That's all I have.
Anybody got anything for the road agent? Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
Police.
All right. So we got the recruits back from the academy. They completed their 16 weeks of training. They are moving into the FTO phase of the police department, so now they'll finish that up. So hopefully by the end of October, if all goes well, to November, they'll be on the road pushing their own black and white.
Nice.
The accreditation program is still continuing. I wanted to bring up to everybody's attention, school is now in session. The school zone, we were dealing with the light issue out there for the first couple days. Just remember, active school zones, right? You got to adhere to them. The fines can be a little steeper if you get caught speeding through them. With that being said, we have school buses out, and I'm sure everybody's seeing it on the news and things like that. If a school bus is stopped, you have to stop back 25 feet in all directions of the bus. You don't get to go around it or anything like that. That is a very heavy ticket. That's about $620 ticket if you do that, if you overtake a bus.
Don't they have cameras now?
Some
buses.
Yeah, buses do. And then and also the bus drivers, they can report that as well. So if they do, then we can simply run a ticket and hand it to that person.
Wow.
The other thing that I've been noticing a little uptick on is the scams that are out there. And there was one that came across last week. It was about someone called saying that their daughter had been in a car accident, was arrested for running some people over. And then the person gets on the phone and they have her pretend to be the daughter and say that she had broke her nose. Like, that's why she doesn't sound like who she is. Listen, if anything ever happens where someone is detained, arrested, they get a phone call, they get the ability to have someone come down, post their bail, that type of stuff. We are never, ever, as a police department, going to ask for money over the phone. It ain't going to happen. So, that being said, and if someone does get arrested, it's $40 to bail. So, it's not $5,000 or a green dot card. If you hear anybody ever ask you for that, it's a definite scam. Please, please come and report it. It was interesting because this scam, they were saying they were the Candia Police Department.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and they went as far as to put somebody on the phone to pretend to be the daughter, but they were like, oh, she broke her nose in the accident. So, luckily, the person's like, well, I'm going to come to the PD because you've got my daughter. And they're like, no, don't do that. She did. And we're like, what are you talking about? So, best word of mouth, right? Talk to people about it. You hear it. Let them know. Again, they're asking you for credit cards, green dot cards, your bank account, your social. That's not normal stuff. All right. So stop what you're doing. Don't give them the money. Come down and report it. You can always reach out to IC3.gov. That's the federal side. They'll take the report. It's something simple you can type out on. You can report fraud to reportfraudftc.gov. So, these guys, these scammers, that's what they live for, right? And if, even if they get $3,000 right off the bat, it's gone. It's very tough to get that back.
Right.
So you just got to think of that stuff.
Oh, no.
There's some
I have a very educated friend who fell for that.
Not the accident.
$5,000.
My dad too. My dad got scammed.
She lost.
Yes, I got that. Yeah, and another scam that came across, someone was pretending to be the road agent's vendors and tried to get like $100,000 from the town. Well, which
over.
It was stopped, which was good because they came and we saw that they were trying to do, the billing, just send us the money. There's ways to set that up, right?
Wow.
So it is weird. They're out there and they'll keep trying and they're like virtually impossible to stop. It's just a matter of not becoming a victim too, right? ACO calls are really kind of the same stuff we deal with. Nothing really crazy. We had 11 incidents. With that, we had 3 arrests this month. You can see those. You can also see that our on the next page with our graph, our motor vehicle stops are going up. We're getting more activity out on the road. We're really trying to hit these areas where people are speeding. Again, call the police department or 911. If someone is doing a burnout right by your house and they're spinning out, home. What I find out about days later, it's very difficult for us to try to put that out there and figure that out. Call and go, hey, there's someone being reckless on the road. The unit will get right into the area and probably, I'd say 8 times out of 10, catch it. So, you know, I get it. People don't want to bother the police department, but that's what we're here for. Remember, during business hours, it's 2318, right? But if you call 2318 after business hours, you're going to go to a voicemail. And that did happen in a particular case. Call 2317 or call 911. They'll route right through to the car. The car's not always here. It's out on the road where it should be. So it, in the after hours, it's out patrolling. They call dispatch. They'll go right to it. So, something to think about. And car mileage, nothing crazy there. Pretty average for the months that we've been dealing with it. No major repairs on any of them, so we're doing good with our vehicles as well.
Any chance you could just have one telephone number and have it switch over to 2318 at 5 o'clock automatically?
Well, that's a good question, and I actually had thought about looking into that because it is very frustrating when you come into an email or something and you're not working, right? And we want to be there for the public 24 hours a day. I don't know. We're looking at the Vantage systems and things like that. I don't know. I'll definitely look into that, but I was just actually talking to Chris, with Chris, about that because
it sounds doable.
Some places you can switch it over and just shut the line down when they're not there, but they haven't done that. So, I mean, it's just a matter of kind of
figuring it out.
If we're looking at updated phone systems, that the capabilities of the new stuff is unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of it's on the internet too, so it should be easy to route that. But yes, I agree with you. Any questions for me?
Again, good job. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
And again, I post this on the town page so everybody can see it.
Yep.
Much appreciated.
Fire department.
Dean's report just states that he had regular truck and building maintenance, EMS training. I know we had two or three go through the advanced EMS training in town that are from town. And fire training, they did auto extrication. Didn't see anything about that online, but must have been.
Saw the car behind the fire department.
And for fire, we had 18 incidents, EMS 37, total of 55. Our time to get to calls, the average time was 7 minutes 20 seconds. And the, let's see, this is EMS, average time for all calls, response time 2 minutes 52 seconds. And the average time on scene for Candia Fire Rescue was 31 minutes and 33 seconds. Do you want me to go through building fires and all that? How many building fires and all do we?
Yeah, just the EMS calls and the fire.
Let's see, building fires 2, EMS calls 30, 4 motor vehicle accidents with injuries, 3 motor vehicle accidents without injuries. And that's it.
Board got any questions? Thank you. Welcome, Rich. Building department.
Yeah, not much. We only had one new garage going this year, per month. Everything else is just on supporting permits.
So how are you settling in? Okay?
Yeah, trying to catch up on paperwork.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Did we ever... That reminds me, we should... Have you spoken with the fire chief?
I talked to Dean once, but about what?
Formal introduction on who should be reviewing the fire building plans, etc. You know, when they put in for a new building application, the previous building inspector two inspectors ago?
No.
Well, it's Will. Will was the last
one. Will would also do fire, but we need Dean's.
Well, fire, I'd only really need to worry about with commercial buildings.
Yeah.
Regular residential buildings, unless it has an oil burner, I don't need a fire.
I think the biggest one is the main street. So
That, yeah, I already talked to him about that. He's going to go with me on that.
Okay. All right. So good. All seems good.
All right, is it anybody else got anything for him, Joe? If not, I have one thing. Rich is aware of this. Our policy is on building inspections. When you get a building permit, your impact fees have to be paid when we get the building permit.
Ooh.
And I was requested by a person in town if we could either change that policy or waive it case by case to no CO unless the impact fees are paid, which allows them to start construction, get their building permit and start construction. Yeah. And personally, I think the town is still secure because they're not going to get a CO unless that's paid.
Mm-hmm. They might not have their mortgage at the very beginning. If they use it, some of their own money.
But how long between when you issue a permit to the CO, it could impact our revenue?
You can renew it for a year if you don't finish
no,
the year.
No, not really. Because I have another discussion that I wanted to bring up with the board, too, about impact fees. So, but this is I'm not suggesting that we change the policy unless you want to, unless you want to just deal on a case-by-case, because this is a large one.
I don't like case by case because.
Well, then.
There's favoritism. Yeah, you get in trouble.
Legally,
yeah.
That's fine.
I prefer not to have case by case. But I don't mind letting them wait until they're done.
I mean, the town is still.
Finish.
We're going to get it one way or the other.
They're not going to get a CO unless it's paid.
Right.
So you can go ahead and do all the building, spend all the money, and you can't use it.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
It's kind of a rough one.
I'd rather have the money up front, but
maybe before before the CO makes sense. At least that way they can get it to a final spot, and if they're going to be selling or whatever with the place, people can come in and see, and then it can get under contract, and they can pay the impact down.
Do you not like that? Do you like it? What do you think of it?
Well, I'm thinking if they're applying for a building permit, they must have sufficient funds available to buy the material and stuff, and just that's the cost of doing business. Pay it up front. You know, you wait till the CO, they can dance around for a long time.
Well, no, it doesn't.
No,
they're not going to get to use it. They
can't get in it.
They can't get in it. They can't get a CO.
So what? Hasn't been
it could be completely
before.
Done, but they can't use it.
Then we put an end to renewing building permits for decades on.
He said it
right.
Would be.
Well, we kind of did. I thought
we
did that.
Once.
2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2 years is all you can go.
2 years is the cap.
Yeah. So that's not.
So that's kind of protected there. They can't keep continuing the building permit.
But why change a policy that's been in existence for years for one?
Instance. I'm not saying for one.
Yeah.
I brought that up and said
no, because,
case by case
because
or
one instance has come about.
I've heard of two so far.
Two?
Yeah. It's a large amount. It's not $1,500.
Well, the thing is if you're going to be building a development, you have the money to.
Well, but it's all in how your capital is coming in, how it's distributed. And if you can save something to the end when you're ready to start receiving some funds, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I personally don't have a problem as long as the town is covered, and I think we're not getting a CO.
That's for
we're covered.
That's for as long as we get the money.
Right.
I can think personally of someone who's going to be using their own funds to start with, and then get a mortgage later on when they need it.
And it would be
a lot easier on that person.
And they're going to have to produce a CO before they get a mortgage.
Correct.
Well, they'll get a mortgage.
No CO until you pay up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's fine.
And the longer they drag out financing, the more money they're losing.
Well, they can't. It's only 1 year, right? they can renew it once.
So would somebody like to make that into a motion? See, and I brought it to the table.
I will, if you can word it for me, Brian.
So this is changing a town policy.
This is a town policy, our policy.
Do we know the policy number? No.
No, it's a building.
Why don't we?
It's just a building.
Why don't we just table that until next time, until we have all the information on it?
Like the policy?
No.
And we can write up a better policy.
I'd say we just keep it the way it is.
It's time sensitive.
Well,
but the problem is we need the policy number to update.
It's a policy, it's not.
No, it's not a policy, it's a, what's it called?
Protocol, it's.
It's protocol, it's not a policy.
It's not a policy, it's.
Are we sure?
Like a purchasing policy. She is, because she's worked in that department.
It used to be the other, it used to be the way that you're suggesting, but when Southern New Hampshire Planning came in, they recommended.
Right.
That it changed to the other, so then we changed it.
See the money come up.
Yeah.
So where does it get written? Like where?
When he, I mean, we have a set of rules when you get.
Yes, so we have to update the rule, what rule, like, I don't know, I'm.
We'll just change the wording on that, correct?
Yeah.
And if that's the way that it was, then you're going back to the way it was before a recommendation.
I mean, to me, it's not a major issue.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't deserve a lot.
As long as the town is protected, that's all I'm concerned about.
Well, why don't we just table until the next meeting, we can word the policy the way you want it.
I'm not in favor of tabling it.
It's time sensitive, so somebody doesn't have to pay their impact fees now.
I don't know about that, is that true?
Yes.
Oh.
Because this is holding up a building permit.
Oh. Well, if we want people to get housing, we're always complaining about that in Candia, let's let them, let that ride until they want to get the, you know, the certificate at the end.
So, but we have.
Are we going to make it easier or harder?
For the motion.
For people to get a house, you know.
For the motion, we have to know what we're amending.
He's going to go find the poets.
Awesome.
You want to just table this for now, Brian, we'll come back to it tonight?
Loop around.
It's not a protocol.
Well, it's not a, I don't think it's a written policy, I think it changes depending on who.
There has to be something written that states, pay your impact fees.
Yeah.
When Bob came into the office, it was at the CO. Then when Will came, we all sat down with Southern New Hampshire Planning and had a meeting, and they recommended that it happens up front.
That doesn't surprise me.
So why?
So then we switched, because that's typical.
So it switched less than a year ago.
Yes.
Because somebody recommended it and the board agreed with it.
No, it wasn't.
No, it never came to us.
No, it never came to us?
No.
Not to us.
Because it's not a written policy, it's just.
So then why is it with us now?
It's more guidance for the building department.
Yeah.
Than anything.
And if Will's not, not Will, if Rich isn't comfortable with making a change like that, then.
Okay.
He is or he isn't comfortable?
Isn't.
Isn't.
Oh, he isn't comfortable?
Well, I don't know if he isn't or not.
I think for him, it could go either way.
This is the way it has been being done.
Correct.
So to change it, maybe.
Well, it's only been done this way for 6 months.
We're taking a lot of time on something that'll be pretty easy here in the end, but.
Want a motion?
He's went to find.
He's going to find out what's going to be worded.
See if he could find the wording of.
See if it's worded.
There we go.
You find it?
I didn't find it yet.
Did not?
No, I got the, what I have here is the actual impact fees, it doesn't say.
Okay. This is basically guidance for the building department, is what it is. So, if somebody would make a motion, I'd appreciate it.
I move we authorize the building inspector to allow deferral of payment of the impact fees until such time as the certificate of occupancy is issued.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
That means you can allow.
Okay, Rich?
Yeah, if they want to pay it at the beginning, they can.
That's what you needed?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
You said there's something else?
Yes, there was something on that same. Because of the activity in the planning board, and not that we're going to have a huge amount of these in the future, because it's all percentage driven for 55 older communities. But I got the thought that A 55-owner community doesn't have the same impact as a development does. They impact fire and PD.
And EMS.
Almost always they don't impact
not EMS,
the...
Not EMS.
Ambulance.
No, they do not.
No.
Not at all.
Because that's all paid.
Look at the data.
It's all paid.
Well, they don't impact...
And it doesn't, impact the school. It doesn't impact the solid waste. So my thought, and I presented this to Tim, the chair of the planning board, and he was going to look into it to see if, once you've applied impact fees to projects, is there a mechanism to reduce that amount? So it's like a percentage of it as opposed to the whole impact. Because you're only impacting police and fire.
You know what's hard with that? Is it's almost like a user fee. Like we have...
Well, it is a user
fee.
Well,
we have people, we have couples who don't have any kids. But we don't give them money back.
Yeah, but that's the state of New Hampshire. That's how our taxes go.
Right, but I'm saying
that's how we don't have any charge of that.
I mean, I agree with you. They do not. And I will tell you factually, they don't go to the 55 plus.
So... Medical alerts are less in a 55 plus.
They have been. They have been. If you look at High Street.
Yeah. They all have insurance and.
Yeah. They're out over there. Mike can give you that.
I mean, that sounds bizarre to me, but.
Can we?
They're fairly healthy.
When we got a chance to think about this, Brian.
I'm just throwing that out there. Tim's got to look into it because we may or may not even have the authority to. To reduce the impact fee once you set them up,
right.
You know, to adjust them.
The one that we currently have, that was full impact fees.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
But we have one that's proposed now on High Street that's going to be coming in, and we have this one down here.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there for.
Okay.
Does
it
that
just
mean
made
going,
sense
is
to
that
me.
Only impact fees, or would it be going on individuals' tax?
No, it's impact fee. That's for the project, the impact fee. When they start a project, there's an impact fee that's assessed to that project.
Do you want to know more about that? So we're going to wait till the next...
Lee said that Tim's looking into
it. Yeah, Tim's got to do some research. I'm just giving you a heads up that it's something that I thought about.
The individual owners would not be billed less?
No. No, because that impact potentially is all of it. But all those 55s, they all have private roads. They don't, it's nothing on their road. And they all do trash pickup.
No school.
You know, no school.
No school.
I mean, just a thought.
All right.
Okay.
Thought. Okay, you got it.
Plank back there somewhere for future. All right. Solid waste.
Okay. Last month we... hauled off 112 tons of between municipal solid waste and construction and demolition debris. Recyclables were down to, we hauled off 27.5 tons. Revenue's down from $19,093 last August to $3,870 this August. A lot of that reflects the weak demand for recyclable materials. A lot of that stuff we recycle in Candia that you put in that paper bin, you think it's going to be ground up and used in paper again. It's not. It goes to a solid waste facility someplace. So it's kind of a waste to require people in Candia to separate all their trash, go over there thinking they're recycling
it. It goes into the landfill anyway.
It goes up in the landfill or goes up in smoke up in Pentecost. So, but that's how it is now. That's just a temporary market. Sometimes that market changes from month to month and year to year. And the recycling center is set up to recycle stuff. People in Candy are trained to recycle stuff. You really can't change this business model we have right now just in response to
the market, a
weak market. But anyhow, that's a bad thing about it. That's all we have.
But year to date's not. Terrible.
What's that?
The year-to-date revenue is not.
Yeah, well Chuck's going to do a little
bit. He might have a good time next month.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that,
in a lot of times, that's just the way the revenue comes in, too.
That's true.
Sometimes it overlaps years and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really reflect that calendar year. Yeah. All right. Budget?
So they won't get the budget Wednesday, but they'll know that we're just going to send it to them and see, because we didn't vote on these. Is that what's going to be expected? They'll have it by the next meeting?
Probably, yeah. I don't see why not.
That's what I was wondering.
What's that?
If they could have it sooner.
Budget committee should schedule another meeting.
They might. Would you say next Wednesday?
I would just have to talk to Tamara to make sure.
Yeah, don't stress her out.
They just wanted to get their season started sooner, and if we had to wait another month, that's...
I don't even want the season to start.
Well, you and me both, but...
It's like going to the dentist without Novocaine.
Question. So we're SB2.
Yes.
Which means we have a budget committee.
No. We have a town meeting.
We have a town meeting.
Right.
So what happens?
By ballot.
So how does...
SB2 doesn't govern having a budget committee. That's
what
a total separate...
What governs having a budget?
That's a total separate vote by the town.
The townspeople.
The townspeople voted that they wanted to have a budget committee.
Yes, the budget committee, yeah.
Yeah.
My first year back as a selectman, I tried to, put a warrant article in, and I got blown out of the water.
Yeah, they almost lynched him, to be honest.
Really? Yeah, it was blown out.
Yeah, they were not happy.
The warrant rescinded.
Yeah.
Wow.
The budget committee.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
So that's that.
All right. And the other, I kind of already told you what's been going on with the planning board. We are looking at the town engineer, too.
Oh.
So we may be changing.
From Stantec?
Yes. Okay.
All right.
We had a great interview with the gentleman, so we'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
That's all I got. New business.
New business.
Public hearing to receive the public comments regarding the proposed land sale of 9 parcels of land owned by the town of Candia deemed surplus to any municipal needs as required by RSA 41:14-A.
There's a poster up there with the remaining 9 properties.
So I have to, open the public hearing, correct?
Oops.
Oh.
Yes.
Open the public hearing.
Is it open?
All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian. Okay. Have at it.
There's a poster right there with the remaining 9 properties that are going to be offered for sale as soon as we go through this cycle of hearings. We start with 19, and somebody from the planning board identified 12 of them that have already been dedicated to the Conservation Commission for conservation purposes, but somehow slipped through the cracks. And were identified on the town report as being, property. But it was actually my fault because I failed to notice that little asterisk next to each one of them that said it's reserved to the Conservation Commission. So I learned my lesson on that one. So this is really what we have left. Our auctioneer has identified about six more properties that require further research before we can determine that the town of Candia has marketable title. So for now, we plan on going to auction with these properties here sometime in probably October or November. And then at a future date, our auctioneer will do the research on the mystery properties that the tax map shows the town owns, but we can't show that we have title. And until the auctioneer resolves that, they're going to just sit there, and that's all I have to say about that. That we have to have 2 hearings. And in the course of this whole process, I was amazed at how much land our Conservation Commission has under their jurisdiction. Probably 25.
Not enough.
Probably 25 parcels of land.
How many?
Probably 25.
Parcels?
Yeah, different.
How many acres? Do we know?
Well, I'd have to add it all up. Scattered throughout Candia.
I was just curious.
So if anybody's interested, you can get in touch with the New Hampshire tax deeds and properties auctions and get a bidder number.
Board members, questions? Go ahead.
Mine isn't really a question, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really love the idea of selling all this off. to anyone, and I want the audience to understand, whatever it's sold for, the town does not get. All we get is what's owed to us for taxes plus the interest. So if it's sold for $200,000 and they only owe $10,000 for taxes, that's all we get. The rest needs to go to the heirs if the people are deceased.
But if we own it,
well, we don't.
Our interest is limited to the assessed and accrued taxes on the property.
That's it.
Correct.
That's it. Not the sales
price. But a lot
of
these properties, we've been in town, under town jurisdiction, for many, many years. And at 18% interest on the unpaid property taxes, that could easily exceed the value of the property. Okay? Plus, it puts the property back on the tax rolls where the owner pays taxes every year. That's for
the
real
original owner who defaulted in the first place.
Well,
no. The new owner, whoever bought it.
Oh, the auctioned off owner.
Right.
Okay.
So that's really where the value is here. You put these are right now non-performing assets. They're doing nothing for the town. But if you could sell those, put them back in the tax rolls, every year you're going to get paid from them, plus whatever you get from the sale. So it's good housekeeping.
It does clean up a lot of old business.
We really shouldn't have property scattered throughout town that we've taken for a tax deed that we're not doing anything with. That's not good fiscal management. So our goal this year is to clean this thing up.
Again, some of these might be purchased and somebody might, by purchasing them, have their property go into open space, or what's it called, current use?
No, there isn't. I don't think any of them are big enough to add to anybody
they are,
to do that.
They couldn't, okay. I'm not sure of that.
They're all tiny parcels. So
the 30 acres isn't there.
But if you have 50 acres in current use, and you buy one of these little properties at a half an acre,
oh, yeah, that won't
you
matter.
Can merge that,
right.
Lot line adjustment, but put the whole thing. Brian's right. Brian's
yeah.
Right, you're right.
Yeah.
The biggest one's too.
So some of these things you have to think about. And my other thing was that it seems like we're selling everything off that we can or should be now. And I don't know about future generations. I mean, we're not leaving any candy or land to...
You can't.
I don't know. Any of the parcels that we've reviewed in the past at the planning board and whatnot with Boyd, none of them are very attractive. You can't do anything with them singly. They only really have value if they abut somebody and they buy it.
So what if we don't get the tax money out of them? You're saying a 0.8.
It's not going to be a huge future tax revenue. I don't.
No. What if we don't get what we're owed when we sell them?
Is
because I thought we didn't have a minimum bid, which
we
I
don't.
Also, well,
we
I don't.
Don't
agree with that
we
either,
don't.
But.
There is
we
no
don't.
Minimum bid. If we don't get our tax revenue, too bad.
We don't get it now, either.
Exactly.
Right.
Now. So anything we get is a plus.
That's right.
And it's not costing us anything.
It's not costing us.
No, that's right.
So, we can go to auction and buy property for a couple of bucks.
I thought we had to pay the lawyer. I have a note somewhere that we...
No, they get it out of the sale of the property. They're getting a percentage.
Right,
that's
but
how
as
they
far
get paid.
As looking for the, not looking for the heirs,
no,
at the end of it.
No, we don't pay for any of that.
Okay, and when we give them their tax bill, okay, once they're sold, and they, then what? Don't we have to pay, I have a note, we have to pay legal. We have to pay legal fees. Once they get sold, and the people are notified, that's just the end of it?
Well,
who has to,
if there are surplus proceeds,
right.
So the tax collector will tell us exactly how much the assessed and accrued taxes are.
Right.
So we'll know that number. If we get an amount in excess of that number,
right.
Then we have to determine who's entitled, who gets that.
Yeah, there's no...
And who does that
from what
work?
I understand,
and
there's
the fees would be paid out of that.
The fees are paid by the auctioneers selling that property, they get a percentage, and that's
how
they get paid.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I'm talking about afterwards when you talk about...
There is no...
Yes, we have to determine.
The auctioneer will tell us.
Right.
Okay.
Who's entitled to those funds. The auctioneer holds on to all the money.
Okay.
And they distribute it when it's over.
And they take their percentage out.
No, the buyer pays that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Right.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah. Okay.
No brainer.
I don't think we can lose money on this. So.
So we have to have two public hearings on this. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
This is the first one.
And the 22nd, yes.
Yes.
And then...
So is the board happy? Okay, I'll open it to the public.
Can I just make a comment
name,
about...
Name and address.
Matt Phillips, 440 North Road. Only because we're going after this and I've been studying this a lot. I believe that if the town... I could be wrong about this. My understanding is when you get excess proceeds above what the town is owed for the back taxes, then you got to go find the heir, the previous owner or their heirs, et cetera. And the way to do that is if we don't assume, say, if we don't know who it is, right, we have no idea, then you file what's called an interpleader with the state. You basically turn it over to those funds over the state.
To the Superior Court.
To the Superior Court, and they have to go and research.
That's right.
But I think that sometimes what happens is they turn right or back around to the town and say, well, you should know.
Your due diligence, yeah,
you should
exactly.
know the last person who had this, and so we need your help, and that generates some of the costs.
Somebody
that
has
Ryan
to do
was
it.
Saying that then starts to draw down those funds until, you know, there might not be anything left by the time you find
exactly.
it.
Exactly, that's my
nothing left to give back.
Right, exactly. So there's a little bit of, I think there's a little bit of
wiggle room,
you know,
research
that's,
yeah.
Put it this way, we're not going to build a new PD out of the funds we get out of this.
Oh, well, that was stated. That was stated somewhere.
Well, no, go towards it, but not to pay for it.
The idea was to put this in that.
And I know what you're trying to do, okay?
All right, is anybody else in the audience have any questions or comments about that process? Seeing none? If no objection, I'll close the public hearing.
Okay.
You got the time, Amy?
Yep.
7:16.
All right.
Okay.
Under new business, and I'm going to let you, Boyd, because this is all part of the land stuff you've been working on. The Georges are back on the agenda, so you can respond to with the comments. I don't know what you have to share with us tonight, but...
Again, Matt Phillips, 440 North Road. I'm here with the Georges, and we are back in front of you. We were here a month and a half ago. We're at the end of North Road, right on the Hooksett line there, and I have a map I'm going to hand out in a second. But we basically just think that there's a lot that the town owns. They tax deeded it in 1958. The auctioneer lawyer, it's on his list of properties to investigate. But we think the town owns it, and there's a lot on the map, and there's a lot that fell off of the map, which you can see on the back side of this here. But what we're proposing to do is to ask the town to determine that, yes, they do in fact own it, and then instead of auctioning it, to do what is provided for in the statutes in RSA 8080, to do an alternative method than the auction or sealed bid process, which it's almost in quotes in the statute, as justice requires, and it lists a whole bunch of things that can be done with that. One of them is for consolidation into abutting lots for the purposes of preserving open space. And there's some process around that. It would have to go to a warrant article in order for the town to, you know, agree to do this. But the purpose of doing that would be, in the best case scenario, in an auction, the town has to pay for a land survey because the map is all screwed up, right? So you got to figure out what the heck the lot looks like in the first place.
Is that true, Boyd?
Why would that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, because it's not even on the tax map.
Well, there's your first problem.
So you got to pay for the survey, and then the best case scenario is that you get exactly the amount that the town is owed in back taxes and interest and fees and penalties.
That's problem number two.
And no more, right? not a penny more, because then you have to go through the whole interpleader process. And the only people who could buy it are somebody who doesn't know that it's practically undevelopable because it's mostly wetlands, or somebody who knows that and they're going to buy it and knock the beaver dam down and then try to develop it, which would also not be justice.
Or it could be somebody who knows that the only people who really want it are the abutters, which is us, and then they're going to do a strategic holdout, meaning they're going to have us over a barrel, because we're the only ones that probably would really want to buy it. So what we're proposing is we'll pay you the full amount of the calculated back taxes and interest and all of that. So the town gets as much as they possibly could have in an auction. And we'll pay for the land survey, because we would have to do that anyway. And we could potentially talk about assuming liability in case the heirs decide to sue for just compensation, which is the whole reason for doing the auction. So we could take that on. We really don't think that's going to happen, because the last owner died in the 60s and all of her kids are dead now too. And so it's been too long, basically. That basically maxes out what the town can get out of this whole process with no uncertainty around the auction results of the auction. And the buyers in this case would be us, would be happy. The abutters, that's also us, will be happy. The town, assuming they vote in favor of this in the warrant article, will be happy because we're preserving the open space. We preserve a bunch of open space, which is good. And we don't have to go through the whole auction process. The auctioneer will be sad, but he doesn't live in Candia, so not your problem.
He's all right, yeah.
That's the shortest version I can come up with. It's a little bit of complexity around what lot on which map, et cetera, but that's the short version. It was on the tax map in 1980 and then fell off somehow. After we spoke last time, you guys seemed to be a little reluctant to sort of pursue this. We took the liberty of going to the Conservation Commission to see what their opinion was. Mm-hmm. They, of course, are very much in favor of this. You may have received a letter from them. Mm-hmm. We also went to the Planning Board. They were shocked to note that there were two unconforming lots on their map that are incorrectly displayed on the map, and indicated that they would be delighted to have those be cleaned up and do some lot line adjustment to just absorb those into the existing lots. And it would essentially forestall development once that happens, because we're at the end of a Class 6 road, can't subdivide. Georges already have their houses. I will maybe be putting one house on my lot that's on the north side of that. And then that's it. It's also those two lots, the one on the map and the one that's not on the map, are adjacent to a whole bunch of conservation land that's on the Hooksett side that ties up into Bear Brook. So it's part of that 18,000 acre contiguous wetland and forest area that's protected one way or another. So,
where is that?
Would you be putting, if you were awarded this, would you be putting it a conservation easement on it?
No, we
Why
would
not?
Just absorb it into our existing lots.
Okay.
Which would serve essentially the same function, because. Mm-hmm.
Because with all due respect, what happens in the future, or if you don't own it, or you want to sell it, or you want to sell your homes, or do you know what I mean? How does that protect
part
of it?
If there's already one home on it, then, and you can't subdivide on a Class 6 road, then there's no development to be had.
So you can't subvide on it?
No.
That's a state thing.
Well, you're not supposed to build on it, on its classic road.
So then how
you
going
to help it? You can with certain requirements.
That's another whole story. But you're not.
But you cannot, by the state of New Hampshire, subdivide on a classic road.
That's not a variance you can get from zoning.
What's this little 34 acres thing?
Sorry.
That is the unknown lot that used to be.
34.9, this
the property
right
that was
here.
Tax deeded in 1958 included two lots, a 12-acre and a 34-acre. The 12-acre actually extended out into the Hooksett side, but Hooksett tax deeded theirs in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s.
So there's
actually two lots. The 34 acres disappeared off of our tax map sometime after the 80s. If you flip over the other side, you'll see the 1980 tax map where that lot is indicated. So the Fostier property, which is now 40485, shows as being this big, even though if you look at it, it's only 40 acres, it's twice as big on the map as it should be. So the tax map is all
Our tax maps are horrible.
So we're going to do a survey and get it all figured out and sorted out, and the planning board will draw the lines.
So we don't even know who the last owner of this 34 acres was?
We do.
Was it the same owner as...
Yes.
And I'm assuming they at one point lived on that land?
No, it's never been developed. Yeah.
They never had a house on
it. They bought it for a dollar, and they bought it from somebody who bought it also for a dollar, and they bought it, actually, three times they sold it for a dollar.
So, and this 34, what kind of road is Milton Road?
So Milton Road is discontinued.
Discontinued.
From 200 feet above High Street, so from way back here. So that plot is inaccessible.
Do they have a house?
Yes.
The Duhames have a
property. And that's another story.
Yeah.
And that's another story.
And
Fosty. No, we're not going to get into
that. Yeah, we're not going to get into Fosty that.
Fosty is our floor.
That's a 45-year-old story.
Over here as well. Is there a house on this one?
Yes.
So how do they get in and out if it's...
He maintains it.
He maintains it. Yeah.
It's a dirt road. It's just a...
It's just discontinued. Yeah. It was there before they discontinued it.
Yeah.
And all the roads on this side, on the Hooksett side, are all discontinued by Hooksett in 1953.
There's a whole lot of land out there you can't get to do anything with.
So, do we? The town has a lien on these properties because we haven't been paid taxes.
Well, you own them. We're claiming title. We own it.
Yeah.
Well, you should. I mean, theoretically, you own it.
But we can't prove that.
Well, I can show you a tax deed from 1958 that says you do. But it's on the tax map as of unknown. So there's a discrepancy there between different kinds of records.
Okay, but you can identify the tax deed from 1958?
I can.
That describes this property right here?
It does.
Wouldn't it be a title company to research all that? Shouldn't we?
Well, that's where we'd have to go before we make any commitments.
Yeah, before we make any decisions. You want to know for sure?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did you have a title company do this research?
Or no, I did it.
There's a lot.
Well, I mean, before we commit to selling this thing, we have to assure ourselves that we have marketable title.
Yes. So
I
think what we're asking the board to do is to say, yes, this idea makes sense, you know, in theory, and for the town to look into it, basically, and try to look at the old tax records and figure out what happened with this, why did it fall off of the map, and to make sure that, yes, the 1958 was the last action with this particular lot.
Amy, didn't the auctioneer already look at this property?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the conclusion?
He said at this point that it would open us up to liability if we were to pursue selling it at this time.
His comments in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if that's the advice of our auctioneer, that's pretty much...
Well, they're lawyers, so we might want to take
lawyers.
That.
I can't see...
Well, they're also
you got two questions here. Yeah. You want to know if we're conceptually amenable to this whole process, and then would we do something? The first part is I'm not against what you're trying to do personally, but the town's not going to spend any money to do it.
No,
that's why we proposed doing the survey.
Yeah.
But we are not doing the survey if the town's going to then turn around and say no, we're not
doing it. Right, unless you buy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of a.
And we can, you know, I think this, you know, maybe we would need to get a lawyer involved too, but we could potentially assume the liability, you know, basically make a deal and say.
Well, that's the other thing that we were advised against too, is that there's a certain amount of liability there if we moved forward without clarity.
Right, and what I'm saying is we could assume that liability so that if the heirs do come after and you know, for the just compensation from having taken it 67 years ago, that we would deal with that. And that basically removes the town liability in a way that the auctioneer maybe can't.
Until another lawyer says it.
Yeah, they can. And that's what the both of you pay
well,
for.
Well, what we would do is, I mean, what I think what we would do is, as soon as we actually complete the transfer of it, according to this whole process, we would then immediately turn around and do a quiet title action with the judge and show them all of this, you know, all this information. The judge is going to look at it and be like, 67 years.
And then it's done.
Yeah, done. And then everybody, and then it's done for everybody, town, us.
So I guess clarify your request then for the board.
I mean, how much? What are we talking about? Do you have a price in mind? Do you know what you're?
We don't even
know willing
what
to pay.
No, the price would be what the.
Just the tax money owed.
That's all you can get.
That's all we could get anyways.
Okay, so
plus interest from 1958.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we would pay that, and which is what you would get if it went to auction.
The most you could get.
At the most. And we're willing to take on doing the survey, which is going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And dealing with that title.
Yeah.
So you don't think that possibly Duhaime would want it?
No.
We approached him already.
I'm Jimmy.
Yeah.
I've already talked to Dickie. He wants no part of it.
Okay.
Dickie just went through a huge thing, so
yeah.
I think Dickie paid.
Dickie doesn't really abut it anyways.
No, he doesn't.
Well, across the street.
Well, across a discontinued road.
Right, yeah. The one that he plows.
Cattle path.
Well, his house is back there.
It's just a dirt.
House is up in here.
So, how do you, with the cart before the horse, and, like, how do you...
Let him clarify his request. The statute says that part of this, the next step of this process, I believe, is for the Board of Selectmen to make a affirmative finding that this is, in fact, in the interest, in the public interest for the town. To fulfill that, you know, as justice may require clause of the statute. Mm-hmm. So I think that's...
Is it, though? Is it in the public interest?
To keep it open land.
That's my question.
To get it back on the tax rolls and to keep it as open
land. Right now it's nothing to nobody.
But then it becomes... It cleans up your maps and all of these unconforming lots, which is what you want, too. Because they become just... It doesn't become a new lot that we have. It
gets
becomes
consolidated.
Part of our lot. So it's still just, we still own just one lot.
Right.
And it won't go into conservation because...
Yeah, why isn't it? Conservation
that
isn't interested.
That costs you money. That costs
money. I'm talking, I'm sorry, Judy.
I mean, they're not developing their land anyway. If their lots can't be subdivided. It's kind of like you wouldn't put it in conservation. It's already in conservation because of the design
but
of being on a class six road.
Just because of the situation.
But somebody could reroute the water by bringing the beaver dam.
Is it?
Right.
But if you had it, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee. Is right.
And you said you wanted to build on the 4310?
Yes, that's the lot that I currently own.
But there's no house on it now?
Not yet, no.
Oh, you can't subdivide, but you can build.
You can build one single family home given your approval.
The current.
Yeah, there's like five criteria that he has to agree to before the selectman can give the blessing for a building permit, permit.
Okay, gotcha.
Is this the frontage here? Is it 2,000?
At the bottom of 40310? Yes, it's about 1,000 feet.
So there's nothing that would stop a house being built on 4309?
Yeah.
Well, except that it's wet, but that's a beaver dam.
There's no place to put a house on that.
Oh, on the property you talk about? Yeah, no.
12.2 and 34.
Yeah. That's complete wetland.
Yeah. All wet.
It's a swamp.
Well, I know, but we've built a lot on wetlands.
I was going to say they put the fill in.
Yeah,
again,
I mean,
the
answer is...
The state, pretty rigid state guidelines about what you can do with upper lands and wetlands.
But
it's not impossible that somebody could buy it and develop it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It would take a lot, but they could do it, and this would force
But they'd have
that.
To build that whole road, change it, and that would be a lot.
Well, no, because people live here. They have
to
develop.
They would have to make that
class
five road.
In order for me to build here, I'm going to have to finish the road out to where
to get permission to make it a class five road, the Board of Selectmen has to agree that it's in the town's best interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
Well, here's our lawyer telling us, our auctioneer says, selling such properties as yours exposes the town to substantial litigation risk. Properties without known owners are not owned by the town, as the town implies, as the name implies. Titles to these properties is uncertain.
And they would do the title search. Well, no, only if it's sold to them. They're not going to do a title search.
Yeah, but it's not of unknown ownership.
If I understand it correct, you're going to do all the legwork and all the expenses. Basically, yeah. You're looking for this board to say, yeah, this is a great idea, but we're not putting a dime in and we're not assuming any liability.
Yes.
But yes. Would we only have if to we sell it to them.
We have to
if
sell
we
it
sell
first.
It to you.
Right, and we don't know.
We don't even know if we own it.
No.
You have to be willing
You're going around it again. We're just agreeing to the concept. And they're going to make all the necessary information and legal things before we do sell it to them.
That's not what I understand.
Yes.
We have to do that before you can sell it, because you don't even know what you own.
So
right
and
now.
Then the tax maps will be updated, the registry of deeds at the city.
The town is not
going to
assume any responsibility legally or financially. They're going to bring it all to us, as long as we agree to sell it to them when they're all
right.
done.
So... Why aren't we doing the same thing with all those properties?
Because nobody's come.
Well, because there's nobody there that's interested at this point. Nobody's come to us and said, gee, I'd like to buy that piece of land.
Because I thought he told us to go through the auction process and not do something like this.
Remember, that's what we told him the first time we were here. And we were going.
Then we went through the same thing 2 years ago.
And
We went through the same thing with a resident on Donovan Road, too. And we wouldn't sell him anything because we were under the impression that we had to go through a public auction type of situation.
Right. Or open it up to everybody.
That's right.
And we were wrong. Because he cites the RSA that says we can do.
Okay, the town properties with unknown owners are not owned by the town.
This is not an unknown owner property.
Okay. See, that's where the
tax
discrepancy is.
So
we're saying it's unknown,
research,
but he's saying that he's got researchers, done some
but
research.
But these are lawyers.
That does.
But
these
guys
lawyers.
Are saying it's unknown.
Because they only looked at the tax
because map. They looked at the tax map, and that's the way it's written down. They didn't do any research.
Okay.
Oh, you're sure? Oh, they didn't?
Yeah, they didn't do any research.
So right now we just have to say, sounds like a good idea if it all works out.
If you conceptually agree that this would be a great deal for them,
really small,
for the town to deal with them, for them to buy it, then they will do all the legwork, legally, financially, and everything.
But we're going to have to sell it to them.
Exactly.
We have to sell it
to
them.
At the price of the... Interest, from what I understand,
the tag back taxes and interest
to the town,
which is what we would get anyway if it did go to auction.
Right, so it's what we get anyway if it went to auction. If it doesn't go to auction, and it's kept like
this, and again, without us investing anything, time or money, we get another piece of property that gets cleaned up and finally gets recorded correctly.
And
we have hundreds we need to do that on.
Huh?
And we have hundreds we need to do that on.
And then,
well, not hundreds.
Well,
so if you build here,
but that's
and
one
fix
less.
The road here, someday that could be buildable if the water
exactly.
goes away.
No.
You mean
if the water goes
class
away?
Six roads.
If we don't.
Six
but if
wait,
how did you build
on
a class six
class
road?
Five.
How did you two build on a class six road?
You can have
they
one
went through
house
the process.
On your house.
Subdivide.
You're asking
I know what they
if
did.
We do this or if we don't.
If we do this.
Yes.
Why are you asking them?
So this stays its own lot. This
you can't
stays
build
its own lot.
You would consolidate that.
Unless
they
we give them permission.
I think
so this goes into this.
Yeah.
And this goes into that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mrs. Young, you can't subdivide on this property.
There's no other lots there to build on.
They're going to make this one big.
Consolidation requires that goes on to this.
Yeah.
And I believe that that would be a stipulation too.
That would
all gets consolidated.
The statute explicitly says for purposes of consolidation into abutting lots.
I personally don't have a problem with that.
No.
I'm not investing any time or money.
But here's
no
the thing,
liability.
Should we have an agreement written up?
We have a matter of records. that if we agree to that,
that's with binding. These stipulations.
What happens if they pay for all that and it doesn't work out?
That's on us.
It's on them.
Someone just asking.
So they're that confident in the fact that we own it.
If what doesn't work out?
If it comes up,
they do all the researching and they find out maybe it is owned by somebody that is living or whatever.
Or heirs are living.
Oh, I'm sure there's heirs here somewhere. I mean, even for 58, people keep reproducing.
Legally, how do we agree to this?
I know we don't want to put any money into this, but have we consulted our town attorney?
I think that's a good idea.
What's that?
Consult our attorney.
That's what I say.
I think. That's a very good idea.
He's not a tax attorney, land attorney.
I think we ought to summarize the facts, send it to our lawyer, and ask for his counsel.
Are you clear on the facts?
What they're requesting? I would feel more comfortable with Mike Courtney.
No, that's not my question.
Yes. So we would be agreeable to sell the land for taxes and interest. They would do the deed research. They would pay for the lot line adjustment or however. So the stipulation would be lot line adjustments.
You could just simplify and say that we're not liable for any legal or physical work.
Well, we could ask our lawyer.
Even we want stipulations to say that
it's not
going to
hurt to ask our lawyer.
No, that's not what I'm saying, not to.
Just recite the fact that we can't show that we have marketable title, blah, 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 blah. Just describe the situation, ask for our lawyer's advice.
Because it might not bite us today, but it might in a couple of years.
Consult my court.
That's okay. I'll talk to you later.
Print it out.
RSA. Right here.
Recite the facts for Mike and let him guide us through this.
So let the lawyer know the 80.
What we're asking.
RSA 8080.
He knows. Yeah, he'll know that. He'll get all this information, Mike.
Amy, I can email you details.
Thank you.
Okay. Good.
All right. Thank you for presenting.
Thank you so much for your attention to this.
Well, don't thank us yet.
Really? Thank you. Beautiful presentation, either way.
No liability and no financial, just time.
But we're here anyway, so.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, I just need to make sure in my brain that I understand.
Yeah, it's all about understanding.
Okay, here's the story.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other business?
I couldn't have made a decision on that tonight.
What's that?
It's just, stuff happens in the future. And again,
but you got to have something because he said, she said, and then, no.
Old business, other business. Oh, the deliberate session. I said, Amy, put
we
that
did
on
that February. Yeah.
We did
January 31st.
We did that the other day.
We did it on the 6th. We're ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
January 31st.
Was it February
Tuesday
3rd?
Was
the
anybody
the
else got anything?
No.
You got something, Rich, you wanted to share?
I found the information about the zoning board.
Yeah.
I mean, not the zoning.
Impact fees?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says that the planning board is the ones that, if it goes to development and stuff like that, the planning board's the ones that assess the fees.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Or if it doesn't need to go through the planning board, the building inspector assesses the fees. But it doesn't say anything about collection of the fees until certificate of occupancy.
Right.
All right.
It just says they have to be assessed at the beginning of the project.
Correct. Which is fine.
Yeah.
Before a certificate of occupancy is given, they have to pay the fees.
Perfect. Yeah.
There we didn't update paper 6 months ago.
That settles it.
So you're good, right? All right. You can tell the interested party that write the check when you get this CO.
Before you get the CO.
No, same day.
You got to make sure it clears the bank, but it's good for them to know the information up front.
What's that?
It's good for them to know the information up front.
Yeah. Well, they know how much it is, but
right.
Yeah. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Get the sticker shock out of it.
Yeah,
exactly. Then if you got 6 or 8 months to come up with it, then you can.
Yes, you're prepared.
Right. All right, has anybody got anything else?
Did you talk about the next meeting?
Next meeting is September 22nd.
Yes. Why does that say
Oh, yes. October 6th, you want us for something.
Yes, and to change the meeting that is scheduled for Columbus Day to October 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. When is Columbus Day?
Yes. The 13th.
Oh, October?
Yes.
Oh, we have one more meeting on that.
Yes, the second public hearing for the auction will be at the next select board meeting on September 23rd.
Why does it say 22 on the paper?
It is 22.
September 22nd.
Oh, sorry. Yes, 22nd. The paper is correct.
Well, maybe you had a China calendar or something.
I'm reading without my glasses.
Is that all we do that day? Unless
well, there may be
business.
Some other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there'll be something on there.
Budget.
Yes.
The yep. Hazardous Waste Day.
Budget. Oh, that's
ooh.
Right.
It's September 20th.
Is Hazardous Waste Drug Take Back Day or no?
No.
You on that? Russ? You on that, Russ?
25th.
Russ would be out there
Russ
picking
would
up
be
the
out
stuff.
There.
Yeah,
no,
he would
right.
be.
Hazardous Waste Day.
I mean, I guess you could just flush it down the toilet.
He
no.
was he
no,
was into
can,
that.
No, you're right.
Not
I don't
anymore.
Want to be drinking that.
What's that?
No, you don't.
So I
do
can flush this together. I don't want to put it back
they
in.
They gave me a bag, a special bag.
For?
My opioids or whatever, right? No, I'm not using them, so I've got all 24.
They all say that.
No, they gave me a special
these aren't
bag.
Mine, right, Ted? Isn't that the first thing?
Sorry.
These aren't mine.
Erase that from the...
do you have a take back day schedule?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
October, hold on.
I don't know, you'll have to ask Russ what he used to do.
He goes down there and he takes it himself.
He'd be down there all day, wouldn't he?
He would.
The farmer's market.
Yeah.
The apple pie tasting.
Yes,
yeah,
the farmer's
market.
Oh,
Hazardous Waste, is that like paint and...
Apple pie tasting.
Stuff like
yeah.
that.
October
contest.
25th is drug
day. Not just tasting.
Yeah.
It's
October
a contest.
October 25th is drug day.
It's a real deal.
Okay. It is. Okay. It was awesome.
Day.
I had a great time.
And just a sip might help to put a pint.
Oh, you know, you have like kids' ADHD meds.
Yes.
The doctor prescribes
oh.
you a Percocet, and you're like, I'm not taking those, but I picked them up anyway.
Yeah.
Then I
took my insurance paid for it.
One pint.
One pint.
Winner. And then John's got some Tylenol with codeine.
I said to the guy, I said, I don't need that.
So did y'all hear that? Candia. The Candia Farmers Market, September 20th, that's the pie contest.
September 20th? Are you?
Yeah, I'm a judge.
Who is he?
We're going to end.
What's that?
I want to be the selectman's representative at the pie.
It's not a selectman's representative.
No, you can do it too. They
I'm a judge. I'm not the selectman rep there.
Boyd, you can make a pie.
No, Boyd,
you
Boyd can taste some.
Get a hold of Melissa and see if she wants
you
to
need
be
a pie.
You can eat it.
Yeah,
really? Oh, I'm going to ask the listeners. They need more judges.
Right.
Yeah.
They were looking for
ask
people last year.
Oh, my gosh. That really got my brain.
Show up then.
They asked Dean, and
land,
Dean
right?
said no.
Oh, come on.
I know. He said, how many pies could I eat? And I said,
huh?
You don't have to eat the whole pie.
Yeah, he might.
You just can't wrap your head around it, right?
That's
well, they, one of the stipulations needs to be that they incorporated it into their current lot so that they can't.
They have to. You can't.
Don't get me going on this again. Mm-hmm. Are we almost done here?
All right.
Well,
motion to adjourn.
Unless somebody's got something else.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys
no,
have
no, no, I don't have anything else.
All in favor?
Boy,
Stephanie.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.